everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Biohacking Beauty Podcast, the top-ranking anti-aging skincare podcast brought to you by Young Goose Skincare, a company devoted to unlocking youthful skin at a cellular level, ensuring real and lasting results. I'm your host, Amitai Eshel, the CEO and co-founder of Young Goose, and my aim is to simplify the journey to youthful skin aging. Today, we're going to have a solo episode, an episode that was requested many times, which is we're going to dive into the world of microneedling, which is a very popular procedure that promises skin rejuvenation and a more youthful complexion. Here are some of the things that we're going to cover today in this episode. One is going to be the benefits and risks of microneedling for skin anti-aging. We're going to cover the key differences between at-home and professional microneedling. And we're going to look at safe practices and effective alternatives to microneedling. So get ready to rediscover a more youthful and rejuvenated version of yourself as we explore how microneedling can be a part of your skincare routine. So I think we should start with really what microneedling does to your skin, or what microneedling is really. So microneedling creates tiny punctures in the skin, initiating a healing process that boosts collagen production. This can reduce the visibility of scars, wrinkles, and pores, leading to firmer, smoother skin. And I think there is a point here that we sometimes kind of go over when we talk about skin rejuvenation. You would hear me often, whether it is on other podcasts or here on the Biohacking Beauty Podcast, talk about the role of inflammation, and that sometimes inflammation is good and sometimes inflammation is bad. And why am I saying that? That's because inflammation really is the signal for repair in our tissue. For example, we're going to go to the gym, we're going to lift weights, we're going to create micro tears in the muscle. The reason your body knows that it needs to correct this damage is because of inflammatory markers, inflammation being expressed in the tissue, which then recruits renewal. So inflammation is our communication signal. You can really think of it as audio signal. And there is a reason I'm saying that, but you can think of it as communication signal between the area where damage happens and the body's reaction to that damage. And that is important because this is the good side of inflammation. The problem is if the damage and the repair is not resolved, then we can experience something that's called chronic inflammation, which would lead to the accumulation of chronic inflammation. You can think of it as static noise. So if we have a communication for repair, this repair is not being handled well and inflammation becomes chronic, it's like having a lot of noise behind you and your body cannot really perceive other signals, you know, signals for repair it needs to address. And as time goes on, we accumulate more and more and more of that static signal, of that background noise that doesn't allow our body to kind of go in and treat areas that it needs to treat. So that's a little bit about inflammation. And that's how we drive something called inflammaging, which is a part of skin aging. But now we're actually going to be talking about the positive area of inflammation, which is controlled damage. So the interesting thing about microneedling is that it can go to a tissue, it can penetrate in a very controlled manner and create damage that is very, very, very unique and singular. It means that it doesn't create a lot of collateral damage. It only creates damage where we then want the body to go in and repair that damage and create a more robust tissue. You can really think of micro tears in the muscles after we work out. So this is microneedling as a whole, whether it is at home or professional microneedling. As I said, some of the pros of microneedling is that it stimulates collagen production, reducing signs of aging. A lot of the times we hear about people taking collagen supplements, or, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, some companies still do it now, they have collagen in their products, which collagen we know is too big, it doesn't absorb. But even if it absorbed, the problem is not your body not having collagen, it's your body making collagen and then using it. So again, we can make the body create collagen, which obviously is hugely important. Number two, it improves skin texture and tone. leading to smoother and more even skin tone. And I would say also a more robust, thicker skin, which is very important as time goes on. And number three, it is effective against scars, wrinkles, and enlarged pores. It doesn't really, we know that there is no such thing as enlarged pores. It's the appearance of pores, etc. Or rather, the size of the pores will not change. Not they can be large, they can be small, but that's inherent to that person. And we cannot really change that, but we can change the appearance of it, especially when we thicken the skin, it looks better. What are some of the cons of microneedling? So number one, we have potential risks, including infection and irritation, which is probably the bigger one. And we're going to touch on how we can deal with that. Number two is the skin may appear red and swollen for a few days post-treatment. So it's not for people who always want to look their best. There is some downtime involved. And number three is that professional treatments can be costly. You know, mentioning professional treatments, let's take a look at the difference between at-home and professional microneedling. So professional treatments use advanced tools and are performed by skilled practitioners. That's very important for me to drive home. When we're looking at a microneedling, the person who will administer it, yeah, we want an intelligent person. We want a person that understands the architecture of the face, of the skin, symmetry of beauty, everything that we would want from the person who treats our skin and in general takes care of our beauty. But we really want to look at someone that has a lot of, as I call, hand mileage, that has done a lot of treatments and you're not their first client. I am aware that they had to get their experience somehow, but we're talking about what we should look for. So we should look for someone that is highly professional using a microneedling device. And because some damage can happen with professional microneedling devices, and we're going to touch on it in a little bit. But when we compare it to at-home microneedling, first of all, they are more accessible, but they offer milder results. I would even claim different results. So let's look at at-home microneedling. Pros: it is more affordable, it's more convenient, and you could do it more often. The cons are the results are less significant than professional treatments. And when we say less significant, it's not that the professional can create more damage that you cannot do at home. Maybe they can do that as well. But what they really can do is create more deeper damage. So there's actually limitations by the FDA on the length of the needles that someone is allowed to sell you for home use. And for professionals, the length could be double, even triple. And that really matters as far as like what tissue are we stimulating? Because the at-home devices do not really reach the layer that would encourage significant collagen production. I would, put a little caveat there and say, if you really tried, you could find professional devices to buy for home use. Like I've seen people do that. If you do, make sure that you first of all kind of take a look at what I'm saying about professional devices, and maybe we'll focus on that here, which is professional devices move in a different way, where they move in a rotation fashion most of the time while also going up and down. It could also only go up and down, but the main thing is they have a very small surface area. They're very limited. The diameter of the device is very small, so you need to move it around. And the problem with moving it around is that you can actually create damage while moving it around. Okay, so it's very important to maybe practice on other areas of your body and making sure that you are not creating damage, which you're going to regret. Another thing is that these devices are a little bit more tricky to clean, and it could be more expensive if you used single-use heads for those devices. So I'm going to mainly tell you, refer to the instructions on how to use those devices. There are people that really do a good job online on kind of tutorials on how to use them. But when we're talking about home devices, we are going to focus on recommending derma stamping devices rather than derma rollers. So derma stamps look like a round surface with needles. and a handle going from its back end. And exactly like the name, you're going to be stamping your face with that DermaStamp device. The reason we really recommend that and we don't recommend derma rolling is because when you're derma stamping, the needles enter your skin at a zenith at 90 degrees and exit in the same fashion. When we derma roll, the needles do not enter at 90 degrees. They enter adjacent to 90 degrees, but there is a slight angle, which then while you roll the roller on your face, by the time it exits your face, it bored a little excessive damage with moving the needle around, and it exits your skin not at a 90 degree angle. So you're creating excessive inflammation around the tissue. Remember, one of the things that we really want to look at when we think of rejuvenation is controlled damage. How can I create inflammation where I need it, where the body has an easy time dealing with it? And how do I avoid collateral damage, collateral inflammation? Because what's going to happen is you're going to develop more scar tissue as part of that healing, and you're going to incur more residual inflammation when doing it for a long period of time. Another thing that in derma rollers are a problem is, again, cleaning them. You need to submerge them in 70% alcohol, whereas the derma stamping, most of the time, they have detachable heads. In any case, I'd highly recommend cleaning them if you're using the same head multiple times. Talking about professional microneedling, talking about the pros. So the treatments, as I said, they are deeper and they provide a more significant results because they reach a layer that is providing our skin with structure, whereas the layer that the at-home microneedling reaches, it does thicken the skin, which is extremely important. It does create some inflammation that then the body goes ahead and heals, but it's not deep enough to create real structural collagen changes. The cons of professional microneedling is higher costs and requires obviously scheduling and appointments. You need to get out of your house for the most part. In case someone's wondering the depth that we need to reach in order to create those collagen changes, structural changes are around 1 millimeter, where at-home devices normally reach 0.5 millimeters. So what should we be looking for when we're talking about professional microneedling? And that's something I covered earlier in this podcast. We want to choose a reputable practitioner. And reputable, it could be a friend recommending, but we really want to do our research. And what we could do is locate a company that makes microneedling devices. We, for example, love a company called Dermapen. And that is just because, for example, I know the American distributors and I know they're very nice people and very committed as a company. And they have an accreditation program. So you could turn to them and ask them, hey, who in my area would you recommend? Who in my area is you consider a reputable practitioner? So that is a way where you could kind of locate your practitioner. You could obviously get recommendation from friends, but that is limited. You're relying on their opinion rather than kind of clinical opinion. Another thing, especially when we talk about microneedling, standards of hygiene is critical because you're creating damage. If they're, God forbid, reusing needles, if they're not cleaning their office well, you know, touching themselves with the gloves, then touching you, you're going to have issues with your skin. So standards of hygiene is crucial when we talk about professionals performing microneedling. So again, look for certified and experienced practitioners, sterile single-use needle cartridges, and a comprehensive consultation process. What we should look out for is non-certified clinics. So yeah, I use this device, but I didn't get certification. Again, reused needle cartridges and inadequate procedure information. So if you just get into the office, they start a treatment. They didn't ask you if you have, you know, sensitivities, rosacea, if you're allergic to anything, you know, do you have any gut issues? You know, these things matter. So a better intake process or a more detailed intake process should tell you something positive, and I would say not customized treatment approach should be a red flag. Talking about red flags, mistakes like improper technique or neglecting post-treatment care can be avoided by ensuring cleanliness, following, you know, good aftercare as far as skincare, and also having realistic goals, okay? Which is super, super, super important. We're going to talk about aftercare in a second. But let's talk about who should avoid microneedling. So people with active skin conditions like acne or eczema, or those prone to keloid scarring, should steer clear from microneedling. Okay, that's not really for you. I could recommend a peel that's called a longevity enzyme peel, which we selectively provide practitioners. And you can reach out to us and figure out if there is one in your area. These are practitioners that we deem highly, highly professional and that have gone through our screening process and are accredited by us. So that is something the people that I've been referring to can do. You can reach out to Young Goose and we'll let you know if there is a practitioner in your area. So again, safest practices and post-care products. So start with a consultation, use a clean device, and follow up with soothing products, such as, for example, adaptogenic cleanser. I would recommend BioBarrier. Okay, BioBarrier has both, first of all, it repairs the skin barrier. Skin barrier is not something that we want to damage, but in order for the needles to reach where we do want to create damage, they need to pass through the skin barrier. So BioBarrier has a biomimetic complex that literally is sealing back the skin barrier, like Wolverine, not the animal, the comic book character. But also it has ingredients like vitamins and a really cool patented ingredient called ChromaBright that allows the skin to then regenerate in a much better fashion with less scarring, less pigmentation than it would have otherwise. I would not emphasize, for example, things with hyaluronic acid, even though they do support skin barrier. We want to prioritize lipid-based products for recovery specifically, whereas for what we call pre-rejuvenation, kind of to prepare the skin for microneedling, I would recommend a water-based serum, for example, Youth Reset to be the serum of choice. You could also use lipid-based like ProCare. You could use both of them, but we really want to make sure we have something like Youth Reset because it penetrates extremely deeply into the skin and allows to support the response to professional microneedling in a more youthful fashion. Because what we want in the end is a response that corresponds with the skin's optimal ability to recover, and that's youthful ability. So following up with BioBarrier, Youth Daily as a moisturizer, and if it's at night, following it up with a hyperbaric mask, and if it's the morning, then BioShield SPF 40. At night, the hyperbaric mask is important for many reasons, but the main reason is that because it has a patented peptide called TGO-PEP-UP4, which is a peptide that literally upregulates the expression of collagen genes. So if you remember the start of this podcast, I said it doesn't really matter if we give the skin collagen. What really matters is if the skin can create collagen, can respond in a way that creates collagen in an effective way and in a way that creates an abundance of collagen that we don't create scarring. So there is types of collagen. We want youthful collagen. GHKCU is another peptide that you can look for. Copper tripeptide 1, it is called. And a lot of people, if they inject peptides, they would know it as GHKCU. So Youth Daily has GHKCU. And this is a peptide that, again, improves the healing of the skin tissue. Let's talk about alternatives to microneedling. So we talked about if you have an active skin condition, we recommend the peel that is called longevity enzyme peel. It's a little bit hard to find. So what you could do is also use topical retinoids, especially if we're talking about acne. Of course, it's not going to be the same. The penetration is not the same. But when we talk about at-home products, the topical retinoids, for example, bioretinol, they do work on control damage, you know, improving the renewal or hastening the renewal of the skin and creating a thicker tissue, which is a major part of what we want, why we want a microneedle. As a professional setting and with people without conditions, chemical peels, for example, copper peptide peels that we provide, many practitioners in the United States use them, or another one's called the perfect peel. It's okay. It's not a bad peel at all. That's a peel to look for. And also something that I'd recommend doing very seldom, maybe once every 5 years, is laser resurfacing. that is something that you could do as an alternative for whatever the reason might be, if you wanted an alternative. So as we draw to kind of a conclusion, just to summarize, microneedling offers valuable benefits for youthful skin, but requires careful consideration and knowledge. Whether you choose at home or professional treatments, understanding the proper techniques and alternatives ensures a safe and effective skincare journey. We want to look at the way that we prepare the skin, what we call prejuvenation. So how we approach the procedure, if it's, you know, professional or at home, making sure our skin is at its most youthful state that it could be. We want to make sure we support it with good aftercare. And we want to make sure that we find a good practitioner. You know, we ensure a safe and effective skincare journey and a skin health journey. Anyway, this is what I have for you for today. Stay tuned for more insights on less invasive rejuvenation methods in our upcoming episodes. And remember, we are here to help you biohack your beauty and reverse the functional age of your skin. So thank you everyone for joining Biohacking Beauty. Again, if you enjoyed this episode, what we ask you to do is to go to the platform that you're listening to the episode on, subscribe, and leave us a review. Because this is the way that, you know, that whatever platform it is, it learns that this was valuable for you, and it's going to recommend it to other people who are interested in the same things you're interested in. And that way we can help more people, we can grow the biohacking beauty movement, and benefit everyone. So if you enjoyed, subscribe, leave a review and a comment. It would be highly appreciated. But until next time, thank you very much, and take care.